The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, the phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. I expect all of you out there listening, at least some of you, to call in with some absolute brilliant palaver. And so we're waiting. I'm waiting. Maybe I can get Aaron to say something brilliant. Do you have something brilliant to say?
The word of the Lord is flawless.
Well, that's true. That's brilliant. Okay, 888-677-9673 if you have a question or if you have a comment. And we kind of want to know what's going on in your area that they're not talking about, okay?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that all of this thing, like every day, see, it's backfiring on, you know, the left, and they know this, it's imploding. So by the idea that they were going to try to give Trump nothing but bad publicity, but Trump is in the news media every day. Now, what they're trying to hide, they want to keep the attention off of Biden bringing more and more illegal aliens. He's bringing in more people to subvert, to destroy our nation.
Okay? How many hundreds of thousands has he actually flown?
I don't know how many hundred, but I know
that, like, over 300,000?
Yeah. They say that it's close to right now. The amount that since he's been in is about 15 million people he brought into this country since he's been in office, okay? He's brought in terrorists, a lot of terrorists, a whole lot of terrorists. He's brought in over 50,000 national Chinese troops. And
jails are getting emptied over 100 countries.
Yeah, they're dumping their worst right here. And so the idea is to get them to come and vote often, vote early, to get these people to get out there, with mail-in voting, fraudulent mail, everything. The Democratic Communist Party is completely corrupt. There's nothing, and there's nothing left in there that is not corrupt. The entire thing is totally, completely corrupt. And so, anyhow, that's what they're doing. So they're in a hurry to
They've
do
given
that.
Them over a the Biden administration has given illegal aliens over $1 trillion of taxpayer dollars.
Oh, yeah. Not only that.
Think about that.
Not only that, but they're having a problem. They're not sure if they can keep Joe, how long they can keep pumping Joe full of stuff, you know, to give him a little bit of a memory. Yesterday, as he was reading the teleprompter, he kind of went off and he was saying, 4 more years. And then he said, then he got it to the end and he said, repeat. He was reading the end of the teleprompter where it tells you. So he had that look on his face. So then he had his people out there in the audience, you know, getting the crowd. Don't let
and
us look this
This is the leader of the free world.
Yeah. He is.
And that goes back to whoever the power structure that installed him despises our life, liberty, and freedom.
Right. He's the
That's
puppet.
That's the bottom line.
He's the puppet of Obama, and Obama is the puppet of Soros.
The elites and their global government.
Absolutely. It is, again, and people realize this, too. One of the things that's happening right now, you know, by far it used to be the young and the dumb would vote Democrat. I mean, you know, in large numbers they would go. Now, guess what? Amongst the young people, it's about 50-50. Right now, it's changed, and they're seeing that that's moving amongst the blacks. He's losing in Chicago. Biden is losing the blacks in huge numbers, okay? And then you're seeing the Hispanic. They're going more and more. But they know this, so they got to do something. First of all, they know that they cannot win a fair election. Democrats cannot do anything if it's straight up. They can't do it. It's totally against everything that they stand for. All right, 888-677-9673. People aren't even used to us opening the phone lines this early. I fooled them, didn't I? Okay, except for Joanne in New York. We didn't fool her. Hey, Joanne.
Oh, hi. Hi, Pastor Ernie. I'm so glad you're back. I hope you never have to go feeling bad again.
Here's what happened, Joanne. Around on Christmas night, I ended up with double pneumonia, and I never quite got over it. Now, what happened was Wendy made me a potion, and I was using that, and for about 3 days, I'd be doing okay, but then I felt better, so I quit taking it. And then when I quit taking it, pretty soon it come back on me. So I didn't realize until I was in Mexico, and I had a very, very bad night, and I went to see the doctor. The doctor said, "You've got walking pneumonia."
Okay.
So I've had it ever since Christmas, but now I think I'm getting pretty close to totally being over it because they've got me on some very potent. I don't take drugs, but in this case, I'm taking antibiotics. Okay, because I like to avoid drugs like the plague, and so I'm doing two types of anti. The pill.
Yeah, I like to avoid it like the plague as well. And I actually got candida from taking. So be careful. You know, I guess maybe you should maybe talk to Wendy. Maybe because I did not take any yogurt or anything like that when I was taking the antibiotic, and I still have this problem. So just it upsets the flora in the intestines. So. Which I'm sure you already know that. Is that right, Pastor?
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, I actually called you. I had a reason for calling you. Now, I left a message. I left two of them about the book Invisible Treason in America by General McInerney. I have another book as well that I want to tell you about. But anyway, did you get that message? In the book, he actually documents with numbers. I think beginning on page 52, I think it might be there. I don't have the book, but just from hearing him on the interview that I heard. So it was amazing. He went through it all on the interview that I heard. That was with Peter Bragan. So if you look up Peter Bragan, maybe on America Out Loud, he's a psychiatrist. He's an older, I think he's about 87 or 84, something now, but he always fought the, all the psychiatric things. So he's quite, he really is into, not taking the vaccine and all that. But did you get that message by any chance?
No, I didn't. Okay.
Does it sound interesting to you? The Invisible Treason in America by General McInerney. But you can look at it. Yeah.
We've been studying. I studied so much of this. I have many, many, many sources of research. We know about all of the treason in America, how deep it is. It runs very, very deep and wide. And, we've done so many programs over the years on this. And you're absolutely right. Do you remember Ted Gunderson?
Yes.
Okay. Ted was a good friend of mine. He came and stayed here with us. I got quite an education with him. He showed me, he was the head of the FBI. he worked in the same office with J. Edgar Hoover for 10 years.
Wow.
In the very same office. They shared an office together. He was in there. But he showed me so much of what was going on out there. And then I had other people that I worked with were former intelligence agents. Okay. These were American patriots. Now, what happened when the FBI used to fight communism, but now they've become communism. They've joined the opposition. They've taken over from within. And Barack Obama was given everything he needed by the collective. But if you go back, okay, all the way back to Bill Clinton, do you know who Stanislav Lunov was?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, no, I don't.
He was the highest-ranking Russian defector in the history of Russia. He was what would be the equivalent of a full bird kernel in the GRU, and which that's our equivalent to our NSA, okay? And his job was, in December of 1969, his job was to teach Bill Clinton to look straight and whatever came out of his mouth, believe, to look at you. And so he told me that was the easiest job he ever had. He said he had never met anyone who was such a natural liar as Bill Clinton. Okay. And so now, you know, I think Adam Schiff would give him a good run for his money there. But anyhow, here, and I spent a lot of time with him. In fact, while he was here, it was interesting. He stayed here with us. Okay, so
while he was Gunderson here, or the defector?
Both.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and so with him, it was an interesting thing because with Stanislav Lunin, he would, I would take him to a motel. We were followed everywhere we went. He would show me, looking for this. He would tell me how to spot him, and sure enough, they'd be following us. It wasn't just the Russians, it was the Americans too, okay? And so I would take him and I would drop him off at a motel in where you had an area where you had these large motels all together, and I would go and I would leave, act like I'm leaving, but then I would go to another one down the road and sit and wait for him. And what he would do is he would find a way out without being spotted.
Wow.
and make his way back down the road. And it was like it was actually playing like spies, you know, I spy. It was funny in a sense, but it was strange. But anyhow, yeah. So I'm fully aware of all of what has been going on there. Believe me.
Yeah, I know. I know you're aware from listening to you. Now, however, I just thought it was so important that he actually did give figures. He went into serious, there in black and white, he has the figures from many states or many elections or whatever. So it may be a good book to take a glance at or to listen to the interview with Dr. Peter Bragan.
Peter Bragan, okay.
Yeah, Dr. Peter Bragan, Breggin, I believe is it. Now, he is on the, I think if you search, you can find something. He's on America Out Loud at this time now. But he's also on, I hear him through my cable on the Progressive Radio Network once a week. He has a show. But, if you could listen to that interview, that's probably a good idea instead of worrying over getting the book, because you'll hear General McInerney telling exactly the figures. He goes right through it in the interview.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with General McInerney. He does. He's done his homework. I have to move on because the lines are all lit.
Oh, okay. Thanks so much, Mr.
Thank you for calling. Who do we have next? The preacher in Philadelphia. Okay. All right. Preacher
in Philadelphia.
How are you?
Well is the word, sir.
Very good.
That very, very good, yes.
How am I coming
God
in?
God is very good. Yep. God is absolutely very good, sir. I'm just calling to say that I would like to support every ounce of the truth that is being spoken of on the radio station. I've been listening. I'm a avid listener of this radio station. I tune in. And God did that with me. He put me to school for 54 years. And according to him, who is law to me, and the power to love law, who is God, that is where I'm at. Praise the Lord. And I just thank the Lord to be able to support you gentlemen out there for truth. And to give a bit of information to help anyone on the radio station, including my brothers out that way, that God is the counselor over all of these affairs. And if it's not God talking, then it's a man. And we have scripture that would cover that. And the scripture is, let God be true, which would be the Spirit speaking, Holy Spirit, and every man a liar. So we have the carnally minded and the spiritually minded. And Satan serves and worships God. He has no way out of that. So every bit of his motion and all of the deception that's going on in the world is a counsel to work together for God and his will to be done in the world. And that should not be an astonishment to us if we're studying the Word, my brothers.
Absolutely. Are you by chance the preacher there from Philadelphia who has the prison and jail ministry?
I've been involved at the CFCF. God had placed me in there. I live walking distance from there. I'm not driving a car right now. I do on foot in Holmesburg and all the way through the city of Philadelphia, which I see as a church, city of brotherly love. Came from overseas, but God did bring that free spirit over to this country, and that is the liberty and freedom that I preach, the Holy Spirit of God, sir.
Amen. Very good. All right, very good. Yeah, I did some communications with a pastor there from Philadelphia who was involved in the prison and jail ministry, and we have some of the inmates there in your area contact us, and we've been working with them, too.
Praise the Lord.
So, yeah, we've had a prison ministry for over 50 years. In fact, I spent...
Yeah, praise the Lord. It's something you can't escape if God wills it. He just puts you right on in there.
If he says, go do it, that's the end of it, because you need to just... I found out
commandment.
That... Commandment. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, well, commandment. Commandment.
well, God bless you. Thank you.
I just wanted to share love with you gentlemen to let you know that, you know, in a lot of ways we don't receive support according to the measure of wisdom that we have. And I really thank the Lord for him administrating to me. If he didn't, I'd feel as if I was all alone sometimes. So just to reach out and share some of the knowledge of God with other brothers that have received that measure is a big help. I mean, even Jesus was ministered to by the angels when he was here in the flesh.
Absolutely.
So,
well, thank you.
And all that and support. If you ever have a need, you can keep this number and give me a call anytime. We could always pray.
All right. We'll take all the prayers we can get. There's, believe me, this ministry has a lot of enemies out there, but, you know, we have God is a majority of one, huh?
Well, all the love under the sun that you can receive and give, may God award you that. And the gift of the results of seeing the reward of your obedience to him.
Well, thank you very much. And I got a feeling that you feel the very same way with your obedience. All righty. Who do we have next there?
We've got Cliff in New York.
Okay. We've got Clifford in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to go to Isaiah. You were just talking about Isaiah. But
well, I got my trainee in here tonight, so... He's going to take this one, so go to Isaiah. I'll help him out if he gets stuck.
Yeah, chapter 17, verses, say, 9 or 10 to 14, which is the end. My question is, the language is a little bit obscure. How do you put that into a context? I mean, I get the gist of it, but there's a couple, you know, language.
Well, now that was chapter 10. What were the verses?
So chapter 17, yeah.
Oh, chapter 17.
To the end, yeah, 14.
Okay. All right. 9, okay. In that day shall the strong cities be as a forsaken bough, an uppermost branch of which they left because of the children of Israel, and there shall be desolation, because thou hast forgotten the God of my salvation. Thou hast been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Thou hast not been mindful. Therefore shall thou plant pleasant plants, and shall set it with a strange slips. That word there actually, in Hebrews, means strongholds. And so he's saying here, in that day shalt thou make the plant to grow, in the morning shalt thou make the seed to flourish, but the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and the destruction of sorrows. In other words, God said he's going to provide plenty, but they're not going to partake of it. And here's the reason. Woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise like the noise of the seas. In other words, people have often been referred to as the oceans or the seas in Scripture. He's been talking about masses of people. And he says...
So that's just a lot of people, basically. It could be millions, even.
Yeah, well, often the nations and the seas are used together there. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters. Here you go. That's a good example. But God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased by the chaff of the mountain before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And behold, an evening tide trouble, and before the morning he is not. This is the portion of them, spoil of us, and a lot of them that rob us. Okay.
Is the whole chapter the burden of Damascus?
Yeah. Now, you find out that prophecy against Damascus and Samaria. There's three different things about Damascus. Damascus is the oldest city on earth that has been continuously, that hasn't been completely destroyed at one point or the other,
Yes.
Now, what happens is, in the end, when you see Damascus get completely decimated, you're going to see two things. A number of the young men from Syria are going to turn towards the Lord, but the other thing that's going to happen is when you see that happening, then the tribulation period is either about to start or just started. And that's one of the signs there with Damascus.
Right, and you see where it talks about in the morning, just like the second to last verse there. That's a little, what is it talking about? What's going to happen to them?
The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff. Of course, what are they going to do? What are the nations doing? The nations are going to converge, too, upon Israel, aren't they? On the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And behold, eveningtide trouble, and before the morning. It's God's judgment upon the nations. He's going to bring many rough judgments upon the nations.
Okay, evening tide? Is that what it says, evening?
In the evening tide, yeah. And behold at evening time, evening, usually that's what they was referring to when the tide goes out at night.
Okay. So that's the idea of the tide going out means you're more vulnerable or you'll be, in other words, they'll be deceived themselves, basically.
Yeah. See, it's associated, the nation's associated with the water. And they're leaving. They're going to be decimated. He's going to judge them, and he's going to disperse them. That's the word.
Okay, so the evening tides represent the idea of you're going out, you're not coming in, you're on your way out.
That's yep.
The thing. You're before, on your way out.
Before the morning, okay. And now listen to this. Before the morning, he is not. He is not. Do you know what that means?
It's like similar to some of the Psalms, there were people in great power and then he couldn't find them.
Well, it means he bought the farm.
Bought the farm, meaning it's over.
Yep. And so...
Well, this is in context to the... From chapter... Verse 14 is in context of 13 with the evening tide. So the nation shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God rebukes them. And as the tide takes out the water, that's what that means.
Yeah, well,
so they're not going to be successful assaulting Israel. Is the point?
No. And he associates the evening tide with the nations were associated with the water. Okay, there you go.
So in other words, they think they're coming in like the bandwagon. They're just going to roll over the opposition, and it's going to be the opposite. They're just going to be like the evening tide going out, and then they won't even be found.
Yeah, you see, again, here, God uses the nations to judge Israel, and he uses Israel to judge the nations. Like right now, all the nations of the world are going after Israel. But what does God teach about Israel when it comes to judgment?
What's the latest on that? Yeah.
Well, he says those that bless Israel will be a blessing, and those that curse Israel receive a cursing. So, in other words, those nations that think that they're doing this by, you know, that they're in control and of their future, whatever, but they're not. And God uses these nations to punish Israel, because Israel's a stiff-necked people. They're a really rebellious nation. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, these nations that God is bringing his judgment upon, he uses Israel to be the thorn in their side to do that. And so, and we're seeing that now. We're seeing, it seems like, more and more, like the whole world has turned against Israel. We know when that finally happens, that's the sign of the start of the tribulation period.
Yeah, one little thing as an aside is, you know, you see these students protesting at, and you wonder, like, you hear tuition rates of $90,000 a year. So I wonder if, I don't think they're getting paid, but like.
They're getting paid. You know, there was a woman who was a psychologist they had on Fox News. She's there quite often, and I'm trying to remember her name, but you'd know it. But they asked her what, and here's the reason, because we were watching that, and I noticed that as they were coming to march, 20-something, I was counting them in the crowd, and out of 20-something of those so-called students, there was only four males, okay? But these were all women. So I was saying, what is going on? Now, this woman, psychologist, she had her finger right on it. She said, look, that these college girls are more trained to apt to respond to authority figures than men, okay? And in this situation, the professors are the authority figures. And so how they're getting paid is they're getting paid with better grades. I mean, they don't have to pick up a pencil, set it at a desk. All they have to do is go out and protest, and they will be passed through. And that's what's happening.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah, because I thought, you know, if I was in their shoes, you know, on a final exam, if it's an essay or something, you either know the stuff or you don't. You want to kind of study to the last second. So, like, that's interesting that the professors would just, you know, give them the B plus the A potentially.
Yeah. Well, look, think of this, Cliff. Let's just say there was a way that we could convince the parents of these girls. Look, we'll teach those girls how to carry a sign and scream and yell and holler for one-tenth of what you're paying, you know. You're paying $90,000 a year. We'll teach them how to carry a sign, scream, holler, and be a complete fool for $900 a year. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's they're not doing their math in terms of, you know. It is interesting, though, that
Well, I got a question. What do you guys think about, we're approaching about the same time of the election cycle where they started all the chaos in 2020. End of May, correct? It was around.
Yeah.
Is this going to be the?
Yeah, it's going to be a hot summer. They're going to try to.
Is this going to be the catalyst?
Yeah.
Using the conflict in Israel.
Yep.
To destabilize, burn, loot, and murder again.
Absolutely.
Oh, one last thing. You know, they seem to be going after like these little prices of food and drink. I was talking to someone who goes to the movies by herself in New York. She said she bought a soda, and I don't think she got a giant soda. I think, you know, and she was like, they said $9. She was seeing a movie, and I was like, wow, $9 for a soda at a movie theater. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, I know. I know the price of things have gone up so much. It was just, you know, a couple of years ago, maybe, and when Trump was in office, you know, we often go out to for lunch, you know, after the church services, and we would go in, and for my wife and I, we would spend probably $30 and we'd have a good meal at a nice restaurant. Now, it costs you, it's $30 a piece. And if you go in there, you can't get out of there in a nice restaurant now for less than 50, 60 bucks. It's amazing. The price of everything is going skyrocketing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
All the more reason to keep praying and fighting the good fight. Because if Biden steals it, those tax cuts, Trump's tax cuts are going to, he's already said he's going to end them.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's like double of
everything. Biden said he's going to give a nice tax increase. So.
That's what I mean.
All right, thanks for calling, Cliff. Have a good one, and we'll be back right after this.
Gives way to victory. face tomorrow. Because he lives.
Because he lives.
All fear is gone.
All fear is gone.
Because I know.
Yes, I know.
He holds the future.
All right, there you go. Esty Crispin, Brian Parks, and yours truly, Old Pastor Ernie. Let's go to Boston and talk to Phil. Hey, Phil.
This is Phil. I just wanted to tell you a couple of my interpretations of what may happen if they manage to seize control and coalesce a dictatorship. What happened in Sicily, when the wealthy landowners employed bodyguards who formed an association they call the Mafia. Who runs Sicily now? The Mafia or the wealthy landowners who put them in power?
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, it seems to me the billionaire class has an awful lot of confidence in bought loyalty. I don't think it can be bought.
It's going to turn on them, isn't it?
All people, these people can turn on them.
That's what's going to happen. That's exactly what will happen.
If a dictator's in power, he'll just take everything they have, put his own people in charge of the corporations, and they'll get a bullet, which is what Lenin gave the useful idiots in Russia.
The proletarian. Proletariat.
Pardon?
The proletariat.
They had the vanguard of the proletariat. It didn't represent the proletariat, and it wasn't a vanguard.
Right, absolutely. And Marx and Lenin said, look, it's justifiable to kill the bourgeoisie.
They love to slaughter middle class people and anybody else who's got in the lower class who has religion, they'll kill.
But pretty soon they started turning on their own too.
They purged the party over and over again.
Yep.
Everybody's so frightened he can't make a decision, then everything's at a standstill.
Well, remember, Marx taught that there had to be continuous revolution. It had to be a continuous revolution.
Oh, sure. That's why you end up with somebody like Stalin.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Phil. I got to move on because the lines are lit. Let me go to San Francisco and talk to Dean. Hey, Dean. Or San Diego.
San Diego, yeah. Right now, there's been a lot of stuff going on, and it's overwhelming me right now, and I know it's already been predicted, but I'm going to change topic here. I was raised Catholic. We already had Easter, according to what the host told me, the Julian calendar. I converted over to Orthodox, but I still practice both, and to me, that anything that Christ did for us, for our salvation, I'm going to respect and go with it. So Orthodox Easter is coming up. We're going into our Holy Week starting this Saturday, the day of Lazarus, and then all through the Scripture. And then our Easter will be on the 5th. Occasionally the times come at the same time, but my only understanding is that on the Gregorian calendar that we celebrate Easter after what they call the Jewish Passover, and then in the first full moon, and then that's how our Easter becomes. I'm just a little confused. So I'm not confused. Take that back. I'm not. I celebrate both. What the heck happened? Can you enlighten me?
Yeah.
On calendar.
There's been a lot of confusion on certain dates and the times what you're talking about there, and so there that's how we ended up with what you have. It doesn't matter, you know, so much as far as I'm concerned. You know, one of the reasons that a lot of the things that the Lord Jesus never gave dates on certain things in Scripture was so that people wouldn't worship a day, that they would worship the man, but not the day. And this is where, this is one of the reasons we don't have exact dates on a lot of these things that take place. It's like, for example, to actually have a perfect exact date, we would have to know exactly when day one was. And only God knows exactly when day one was. So you have a lot of speculation, a lot of prediction, but really, it's the Bible has left out certain parts where you could not accurately pinpoint. And I know we've had so many people doing this. For example, I've had people that try to predict the rapture of the church, or try to predict. Well, we know we don't know the hour or the day, but we know the time or the season. And the Bible says not to do that. Do not try to predict those dates. Don't worship a time or a date. Worship the Creator. So that's why I try to really avoid it altogether and not really get into that. But I understand you.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, that's okay.
Me by respecting both the calendars and loving my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, I can do both. And I can do it tomorrow or I can do it the next day. And it really doesn't matter just because it fell on some calendar from a time where this was said. And elaborate on that, I you know, you get the confusion of when is Christmas really happen. You hear people say it was in June or whatever. And so I just want to know what if I'm doing the right thing, that's all.
Well, so isn't the biblical calendar based on a lunar year?
You know, one of the things he does, he tells you, especially in the book of Colossians there, about, let me just read some to you here. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, and treating to those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by the fleshly mind. Okay, he goes on to say, to tell you that, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, you are subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandment and the doctrines of men, which thing have been the show of wisdom and all worship, the humility and neglecting of the body. Let me go back. I want to take you back to verse 15. Having spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them, here you go. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So he's telling you, don't you know, worry about or let anyone judge you on the days that you worship, okay? For example, you know, we hold our Sabbath on a Sunday. A lot of fundamental independent Baptist churches worship both on Saturday and Sunday. They have 2 days, okay?
Yeah, I heard that today.
And I think you'll find the answer in Romans chapter 14. If you read Romans chapter 14 real closely, I think you'll find the answer to that, to your question.
So, yeah, one quick one. I'm not going to tie up your time. God created everything. That means he created Lucifer, which now is Satan. and there's a plan, and it's always God's plan. And there, I heard something today, and I do listen to this radio station here in San Diego, and basically was saying that the demonic are, I don't know what the heck they're doing. I just know that they're part of this, what's going on, and I'm seeing a lot of it, not mentally stupid or nothing, but, you know, the world's getting weird, and it's starting on the other side, the extreme left, and I'm just getting really, not worried, but just like, I'm really having a hard time with it, and I'm really having a hard time of dealing with their crap, okay? So, sorry for the French, but what's that all about?
Well, you're just, we're all getting really fed up with it. We are getting, but this is exactly the way the Bible said it would be. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, Romans chapter 1, and the book of Jude, you read it, we're there. I mean, we're right there right now, and it's literally spelled out for us. It couldn't be any plainer. One other verse that you might want to read is Romans chapter 14, verse 6, okay? He says this, verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above the other, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord. He that regardeth it not the day to the Lord doth not regard it unto the Lord. In other words, he's making that point. Don't worry. In other words, say, well, you know, you should be worshiping on this day. This is the day that I worship on. He's saying this is a thing. If your conscience tells you this is the day, then you do it on this day. But there's no such set. You're free. We have free will to worship God in our own way and on whatever day. We're not under the letter of the law.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's what I kind of been feeling, and I'm thank you for the clarity and the support.
Well, the Old Testament is based on the lunar calendar, correct?
Yeah.
So that's how, I mean, if you want to, it's a side type of study. It's not important. Every day you're supposed to honor God.
We're under a new covenant.
New covenant. There you go.
All right, thanks. I've got to move on. We have Pastor Hal. Thank you. Pastor Hal, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How much time do we have, Style?
Just about 6 minutes.
Hal, you got 6 minutes. Go for it.
Okay, well, I was reading in Ephesians chapter 6, where God told the Christian church to be militant, and we have lost our militancy in these last days. We've become like a sissified church that just wants to concentrate on positive thinking, family values, amateur psychology, and we are supposed to be out there fighting a battle for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the Christians today, they don't want to be in a warfare. They don't even know there's a battle going on, and it's pitiful. And you got preachers in the pulpit that they've apostatized from the Word of God. Christians sitting in the pews, they're apathetic, indifferent. They love themselves more than they are lovers of God. They give preeminence to their flesh and their lust of the flesh instead of to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then people are wondering, you know, how did we get this way? But, you know, the Bible says it's going to get worse and worse right up until the time the rapture happens. But the only way to escape the horror that's coming to this world is by getting saved from hell, receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And how do you do that? You know, Bible says, tells us that God loves us but hates our sins. God wants us to come to heaven, but he says our sins cannot come with us. And the only thing that can wash away our sins is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done. In other words, God allowed Jesus to transfer every ungodly sin you and I have ever done and put that upon his son, because God is a God of perfect righteousness. His righteousness demanded sin be paid for. He couldn't just look the other way because he loved us and ignore the sins we've done and ignore our sin nature, because if God would have let us into heaven with this sin nature, we'd stick up heaven overnight. It'd be unbearable even like this earth is getting under the Biden administration. I mean, it'd be a hellhole. And the thing is, God has to punish sin, no matter how much he loves us. But he Jesus to pay that payment in our place. And that's the good news of the gospel. But John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Even though Jesus Christ paid the payment in full for your sins and mine, that payment don't become yours until you receive that payment. And it's a free gift. Every false religion in the world tells you you got to do something to earn points to get to heaven. You got to work for it. That's a lie from hell. Jesus did all the work, and then he said, it is finished. So whether you and I go to heaven or hell depends on what we do with that finished payment that Jesus paid in our place on that cross. Not for what we do for Christ, but what he did for us, and whether you receive that payment or not. The good news is Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so that's one of the things that Martin Luther saw when he was reading the Bible and came out of the Catholic Church, is that Jesus did it all, and he paid the price, and indulgences and works and getting forgiven by some priest was just a bunch of hot air and hogwash. The only thing that could get you to heaven is the blood of Christ. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's not through your church. It's not through the city's water system. You could get baptized so often every tadpole in the creek knows your social security number and still die and go to hell. Now, God hears me talking to you right now. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. John 14:6 said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's not through Peter. It's not through Pope, many popes. It's not through Paul. It's not through Mary. None of these people died on that cross for you. It was Jesus and him only. And that's why he said, I am the only way, because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself.
1 minute.
God hears me talking to you right now. If you want eternal life, open that door of your heart and let Jesus come in. Let me lead you in a sinner's prayer, Romans 10:13. Right now, just pray this prayer and mean it. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Please, dear God, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, for I believe that you died on that cross and shed your blood for my salvation. And I'm asking you to come into my heart right now, receiving you as my Savior and giving me eternal life by what you did for me at Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, 1 John 5:13 says, because you prayed and meant that, that he gave you eternal life, that you could know you have eternal life. How do you know? Because God made you a promise, and he cannot lie. Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. God cannot lie because he spoke everything, and whatever he speaks becomes. And so, but we're at that time where we get to every see, God's not limited by time, but we are. And so we're at that time that we come to. We're, for all you folks out there, we want to say God bless tonight. And for all of you folks out there, we want to say, remember this, God bless.
Good night.
Good night. And then always, always keep
fighting
the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.